That's what we sound like, isn't it? Why can't we just remake everything on a podcast or we make fun of remakes constantly?
If you're telling me that you wouldn't buy another
Boy, I miss classic.
Versus TIE Fighter game.
I bought Command & Conquer re-release like that.
Oh, dude, I can't wait for the...
Didn't they?
What?
They remastered it.
They remastered it. It's only $20. Everything is upscaled. All the graphics are overhauled. It's really cool.
I'm waiting for the Final Fantasy VII remake
Hasn't
remaster.
Hasn't that been in production forever?
What? It's a PlayStation exclusive.
It is.
Yep. So, well, I'm not going to buy a PlayStation for it. Okay. I'm just going to wait for them to release it on PC.
Oh, Square doesn't usually do that.
Oh, of course they do.
Well, that's true. Final Fantasy XIV is like the biggest, one of the big moneymakers.
Yeah, plus the a re-release like this, they'll release it on PC. They're not worried about an exclusivity deal.
Fair enough. I hope so.
But yeah, dude, all these remakes of classic stuff we loved are fantastic as long as they don't change anything at all.
That's the lesson of this podcast.
I just literally want XVT upscaled. And multiplayer that doesn't require you to log onto the MSN gaming zone anymore, which is what you used to have to do.
Did I tell you I tried playing, what was the N64 game? Was it Rogue Squadron?
Rogue Squadron.
I've tried playing Rogue Squadron on an emulator a while back, and it was horrible.
Atrocious.
It was never, like, I liked Rogue Squadron.
Me too.
But it was never, like, at least right around the time of X-Wing Alliance, I think, which was...
Correct.
Yeah, and like going from that, then like, oh, let me play a flight sim on my N64.
Filet mignon to Stakos.
Yeah, you're absolutely. But I remember.
Like, how do I modulate my shields? Shift them to the back.
You're like, is this on rails? What the hell?
Yeah.
I just remember it being such a good looking game, and then I went back and it was not.
No, at the time it was. I remember being blown away.
N64 games don't hold up very well.
No. Well, here's the thing: not a lot of things do.
Ocarina holds up, I'll tell you that.
Zelda, Ocarina of Time?
I'll still play that on my N64.
Really?
Yeah.
You have an N64?
Yeah.
Would you look at you? Yeah. Wow.
I have an N64, SNES, Genesis, Atari.
Wow.
What? You still have these systems?
I collect
them.
That's
wild. Dude, what? Have you seen Scott the Waz? Scott the Waz is the funniest. I fucking love Scott.
I mean, my collection
isn't huge. I had no idea.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I got a few of those in a box somewhere, but I couldn't rattle them off. Like I don't know what I have.
That's... Yeah, I think I have something else too. I have a GameCube, but I mean, that's fairly recent.
You have a Dreamcast?
I will never collect.
I have two.
You still have two.
You want one of Brandon's?
And the doorstops. The doorstops. Because I mean, you know
you
the story about how like it got just destroyed by piracy, right? They didn't put in like a very major failsafe for piracy.
Yeah.
And could take a burn.
And their game
and
library
like,
also kind of sucked at the beginning. I mean,
they
had good
games,
but it wasn't like an expansive library.
Firestone.
Oh yeah,
Power Stone was a great fighting game.
That was like one of the first 3D Sonic
game. That release game was pretty good.
Sonic
Adventure will always hold a special place in my heart.
Yeah,
it was the release game, and
it had good content.
I feel like they didn't have a lot of good content. I mean, I might be misremembering.
I played the shit out of it, and there were a lot of good games for that system.
Toy Commander. Oh my god, that was a great game.
Dude, that was the first Gundam game I played was released on Dreamcast. Like,
I remember that game and it was MDK2, terrible, actually. I have to disagree with you there, Brandon.
Slave Zero. Wait, really?
Yes.
You do remember that game? Fair enough.
Yes, I do.
It's very slow.
Because I was like, ooh, Gundam. Yeah. I think I remember, I was like, Brandon likes Gundam. I've seen some Gundam.
And it's
and then
not
I played it and
exciting.
I was like, this is not fun.
It's all the boring walking part that they cut out of the anime. It's like them getting to the battle. It's just you just boring, boring, boring.
Terrible.
Boring, boring.
I could not imagine. I was like, well, how could you take something that looked so fun
for
and make
me
it so unfun?
15 or whatever.
Yes,
I was
so
like,
boring.
This is just as good as being in my animes. You know, I was 15. I loved it. But
everything
I love Dreamcast, but it was the song for Sega, and like you knew it was.
Well, I'll tell you what, they never fixed that hacking problem.
No, you can do it today.
I have a Dreamcast and I have a bunch of burned games.
Yeah.
I just download it off
the
internet.
You could literally just burn a game to a disk.
There's no protection.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember. Was it a CD or it had
literally
to be
a burned CD?
It was a CD, right? Because at the time, DVDs I don't think were a thing.
No, they weren't standardized for gaming yet.
Yeah, so you would go to online and you download the file and you burn it to a CD. Yep. And you just put it in the... And there were very few games that it didn't work with.
It was like literally the entire library.
Which is wild to me because PlayStation... I had an original, like the original PlayStation, and you had to buy. I bought a mod chip for it, and
you had to jump through hoops
put
for
the
that one.
The spring
Xbox
a certain
too.
Way, and mm-hmm. like you could pirate it, but it was like $30 or $40. But you know, like,
but then you were taking your system in your hands, could brick it. Yeah, but
that was a 32-bit system
you didn't have to do shit
that came out years before the Dreamcast.
Yeah,
and the Dreamcast just was like, nope.
That reminds me of like all the hacking and modding that they told you to do to those. Like every system at some point had like an auxiliary thing that you just kind of stapled on to the side.
Well,
and like they had built a port on there when they released the machine. Yeah, right. They were like, well, like, do you remember the N60?
I remember when I got my first Genesis and I'm like, what are all these multi-pin plugs that I don't know what they're going to be used
for? Yeah. The five and systems then, that you Voltron yes. together.
Yeah, you had Sega CD.
How many did you have?
And Sega, 30, Sega Saturn.
It was 32X. And
32X.
It was Sega CD, right? Sega 32X.
And do you remember the N64 to play games? At a certain point, you had to buy like an expansion RAM thing and drop that in.
That came with Donkey Kong 64.
And it was also required for Rogue Squadron. Or like Rogue Squadron had upgraded graphics.
Yeah.
I think you're right about
that.
It was
like a release thing for that thing.
Yeah, man. They
a RAM expansion.
Things got a little easier.
I guess. Yeah, but
I don't know, though, because think about what they do now is they just release a 0.5 system upgrade. They basically did.
Yeah.
So, like, that expansion chip was basically your 0.5, mm-hmm. and now it was the Xbox and then, what, the Scorpio,
mm-hmm.
right?
But at least it's not hardware that you have to physically purchase and install.
Yeah. You know?
Like, yeah, I mean...
So they release like a little thing, like, oh, we're updated your
no,
whatever.
No, he means those, like, 0.5 system releases, where they're, like... 3 years after PS4 comes out, the PS4 Slim.
I thought you were talking about software updates.
No.
Like, so, like, you could, if you wanted an update to the Xbox, right? You could have, I have, and you have the original Xbox, or you could buy the Scorpio, which is an upgraded Xbox, right?
I didn't even heard of that.
Yeah, so that came out.
Isn't it the One S?
Or is it the One S?
Yeah,
it was Project Scorpio, and then it's the Xbox One S. So it's a new
Slim,
more powerful.
Yeah.
Xbox.
That's terrible.
So it was that, but that's basically what the expansion chip was in N64, which you just bought that and you plugged it in.
I'd
almost prefer that.
It was a crutch and also a money grab.
I was going to say, you're telling me this is a long-standing business model.
Oh, yeah.
Continues today.
This isn't new.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Gotta collect them all.
I think that's kind of where we're headed. I mean, we'll see if this continues to be a trend because the new Xbox is coming out this December or November.
Yeah, PS5.
So we'll see in 3 years if like they're... Okay, well, here's the 0.5 of this system. But
good luck. I'm out.
I mean,
I think it's going to be my last one.
Really?
Yeah. I can't bring myself to. First of all, how much is it going to cost?
Price point's 400 or 450.
That's not terrible.
No, it's
for release.
For a brand new console on release? No.
I'm still for $450. I mean, first of all, you're going to need an extra controller. You're going to need this, that, and the other thing. We might as well call it $500.
I'm with you on that one. That's true.
And you're going to want to buy
the bolt-ons.
You're going to need a first game, and that's going to be $60 or $90, whatever games cost now.
It'll be interesting because they bundled two games with the last Xbox.
What they're going to do is give you a subscription to their service for free for a year.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh,
that's what it's
going
to be. You buy the Xbox, you're going to get an Xbox Game Pass.
Maybe.
You have to buy the Xbox at that point.
No, I don't think they will. You think they'll give you a free year of Xbox, whatever
maybe
games you want to play?
Maybe a month.
Maybe
or so,
they'll give you a free month.
They want to hook you on that Game Pass. That's their monthly revenue now.
I'll tell you what, that doesn't take much.
I know.
A month would do it.
I know.
They're going to give you a free month because I'll tell you what, I mooch off Dan's.
Yeah.
There's a lot, Jay. I know you have it. A lot of good games on there. If I didn't have the service, and
it's like brand new games on there sometimes.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, Microsoft exclusives come directly to there.
Yeah.
That's like I didn't buy Gears of War. I didn't buy God damn it, not No Man's Sky. Well, I also now have No Man's Sky. The fucking Obsidian RPG.
Outer Worlds.
I got that for free.
Oh wow.
I don't think I've paid full price for
Outer Worlds. Is like has been their top. I looked; it's like their top downloaded game for everyone was like fucking Outer Worlds.
Wild that they got that, but
it's New Vegas 2. Not really.
It's still a good game. I mean, it was still a good AAA title.
I'm trying to get through it.
Yeah. That would have been $60. Like, I mean, now they have Fallout 4 on there. They have Fallout New Vegas. Mm-hmm. They have Fallout 3. Of course, I purchased all of those beforehand, but quality games on there. Red Dead Redemption 2 is on there now for free.
Yeah, I really want to play that game.
If you don't have the service and you own an Xbox, like you
I don't
should
have it's, an Xbox.
Well, yeah, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to our audience, Brandon.
I forgot we're recording. This is not for us.
Right.
Sorry.
It's a worthwhile service.
100%. And you can bundle it with Live now. So you can get Game Pass.
That's what I do.
Game Pass Ultimate.
You should stream it. Yeah, from streamline it from going forward.
And if you have an Xbox and you're playing on Live and you don't spend the extra $2 a month or whatever it is to go to Ultimate, Like it is a great
that
deal.
That pays for
itself. It's a great deal
in spades.
No. I don't.
That's why I think they're going to give you a month of that free
at least,
and then they're going to be like, "Hey, enjoy paying us for the rest of your life."
Yeah. Maybe not a year. Yeah, but I think maybe more than a month.
But still, we're talking $500 for a new console that's going to. What's it going to have? Is it going to be that much better than the console I have? And they're going to be back releasing most of their shit for at least the next.
I mean,
year.
So I watched. I didn't see much of the Xbox One, but I did sit down. I caught like most of the PS5 one, and some of it looks pretty damn good for, and all the footage during it was like in-game, so in-game engine at least, which is the caveat.
I mean, is it Killzone was in-game?
Yes.
Remember Killzone?
Yes, I do. Yeah, but it looks pretty good. Like, there's some stuff that seemed pretty incredible for a home console to do, because like there were things like where the Ratchet and Clank trailer, he's like jumping through dimensions flawlessly with no
loading.
Oh,
there's a Ratchet and Clank?
And you're like, wow, if that's with no loading, if that's legit, that is powerful. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I don't think any of us are usually like buying a console on the release day anyway. So
No, I think that time has passed.
We'll let everybody figure it out.
Let the kids figure it out.
I got it for Destiny when I bought the one. But I got that for free. Like, I paid the $400 or whatever, $450 for the one, and then I got that, and Forza came with it. And then they were like, you can get any game that you want with this as well. I was like, any game? Like, Destiny? Yeah. Like, that's another that was another $120. Like, I was actually really surprised that they were bundling two games with it.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
That was a good deal.
Yeah. Well, you got to get it in your home. And then,
that's what I'm saying. They're gonna give you.
And then it listens to you and it watches you.
I know the PS5 is like
takes note of all your preferences.
Coming back with a camera, and there's a microphone just embedded in your controller.
Oh,
of course, there
buddy.
Is.
Absolutely.
That's so dumb, though. Like, just from a
somebody was like, hold the controller. Like, yeah.
Why
man,
are you gonna
got in, you? Got you?
Like, are they thinking they're gonna just
scrub? Like,
people aren't gonna buy
headphones.
Headsets?
I don't
like,
know.
Why would you a microphone in your controller when you hold it like down here by your balls?
I think it's to activate voice commands.
I think so.
Oh it's yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
Because your TV is all the way over there, but your controller is probably near you because you're using it to select your Netflix or your whatever, and you say. PlayStation, start Netflix, it does whatever. Dude, microphones and everything now, man.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if there's not a camera on it.
I know. I already said there is.
Hey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, at least PS5. I haven't.
Even the Xbox One has a camera.
Well, that was
a
whole thing. They were like, it's going to watch you. I remember the launch trailer. E3, and I'm watching it, and they're like, it'll watch you while you sleep. Look at this. And you're always online. And me and my friends are texting, we're like, what the fuck kind of dystopia are we living in?
Oh, how innocent we were.
That's why I got the sleeve on it to
cover
the camera.
You cover the camera.
Yeah.
I just turn it.
Ah, yeah.
Just looks at my wall.
I mean, it's a great little tool, especially the room mic.
I like that.
Yeah, that's
nice.
Convenient.
But. The fact that there's a camera. I mean, listen, man, there's multiple cameras in the house, in the room. We've all got a camera on us. It's a camera heavy society.
It is.
So, I mean, what are you going to do? You want one in your living room? Too bad. You got one. You want to play the new Destiny? Guess what? You got to do it on camera, pal.
Sorry, that means somebody's got to watch Jay's Ugly Mug for however long.
I just play with no balls. Or not no balls.
Excuse me? I play you normally play?
Like no pants. So they're just looking at my donger the whole time.
That's great.
Whoever, my NSA agent. free show, buddy.
Well, you got to be a little bit of a voyeur to get a job there anyway, right?
I feel like you do.
Yeah, you would think that's the personality thing.
Do people want to do that? Like, is that a thing that you sign up for at the NSA? Like, I'm applying to just listen to people's, like...
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure, like, you probably have to get into the NSA first, and then like, maybe you're working in accounting.
You know that
and you're
meme?
Like, I hear the guys who watch people masturbate on secret cameras get paid a lot of money, and I'm really looking for that pay raise. And maybe I'll talk to my supervisor and see if I can put in for transfer to the
watch people masturbate.
To the voyeur. the voyeur team.
The velvet rope.
Oh, God.
I don't know, man. Jay and I were talking about that on the way here, just listening to us and everything.
The government and how they've probably been doing that for years. Isn't that what who was
Snowden?
I always get them confused.
Or was it Snowden or was it
Assange?
Oh, I don't remember which one. I always get them. Or
was it Manning?
They both leaked through WikiLeaks and Julian Assange.
I think it was Assange. Because he was the one on the... I heard about it on John Oliver like years ago.
Yeah.
When he interviewed him.
They're watching us is the long and the short of it.
I think that was Assange.
They were like, no, 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 we're just collecting metadata. It turns out that that's...
Turns out you were lying.
Yeah, that's a, like the masks. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just like the masks. Less excusable lie.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm more okay with the lie about the masks to prevent a run on masks than I am about the, hey, we're not monitoring all your emails and phone calls.
JK, totally are.
I don't know, man. That's why I don't know where I land on all that like espionage and whistleblower stuff. It's like, oh, should you do it through the appropriate channels because you might risk the lives of like undercover agents, or hey, listen, moral somebody's got to say it because if nobody told us, we wouldn't have known.
I don't know where I'd fall that either.
I feel like whistleblowers, I don't know. I'd be worried I'd get disappeared.
I mean, I'm pro whistleblower in most circumstances. Yeah. We were kind of talking about this a little earlier where I do expect my government to lie to me a little bit because there's things that, A, there's things like, first of all, aliens. It would cause a panic and we would all lose our shit. B, if there's like Armageddon style, there's a meteor coming and they're launching a last ditch effort and they can't tell us because we're going to lose our shit.
I'm better off not knowing on that one.
Yeah. Hey, there's a bunch of masks that there might be a shortage of during a pandemic and we're worried that there's going to be a run on the stores to buy these masks and we need them for healthcare people. So we told you that wearing a mask wasn't a such a
white
big
lie,
deal.
Yeah.
Not a big, you don't need them. It's not a big deal.
Well, yeah. I think my favorite is like the right wing on this is getting really upset about it, and I'm like, but I thought you guys didn't care.
You
like, why are you upset about this?
You didn't
want to wear them anyway.
Well, of course. Well, first of all, no one wants to wear his mask, and for sure, there were definitely a bunch of right wing people upset about it. But I think it was just right wing people being upset because right wing people don't like being told what to do.
Yes,
nobody likes being told what to do. Funny, but right wing people more so are like, hey, listen, don't tell us what to do. I think they also don't like being lied to just like anybody else. No. I mean, I wasn't thrilled to hear we were lied to, but I was like, okay,
it's understandable.
That's an understandable lie
because we would have
like when
like
they killed Kennedy.
Outside.
I mean, you can't let that get out.
Like, exactly.
People are going to be real upset.
There's certain things that
like when they did
keep...
9/11, it was you know, you can't tell everybody that or else it loses the effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those directors
like
who doesn't tell you
the
they're going to douse you with water. It's like they want to get that.
They want the
authentic reaction.
The authentic.
Who is the director who? Didn't they slap somebody?
Kubrick?
Kubrick, yes.
Right, right. He would... Was it on...
Tortured fucking Shelley.
It was Clockwork Orange.
Duvall, yeah.
Oh.
And The Shining, too.
I was thinking The Shining.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Or she, lost her fucking mind because he was so
he
terrible
was a fucking,
to her.
He was a terrible...
He was just an abusive person to her.
Right. But when you're going to lie about how much you're surveilling us, I don't know who you're protecting, what specific like lives and secrets and
you're
and
certainly not protecting your citizens.
Government security.
Yeah.
I don't know where the excuse is on that one. I don't think there is a good one.
Excuse.
Which is why, again, your government can lie to you a little bit, but you should minimize what they can do with all that power so the lies aren't that big a deal.
All right.
They're like, hey, we instead of putting up 10 libraries, we only put up 9.
That's an acceptable lie.
All right. Well, it wasn't like, hey, we embezzled all the money from a fucking bailout.
Fund. Yeah.
I'm more okay with one lie. There's less.
Well, that's like everybody's very upset about the looting from the riots, but nobody seems to be upset about that looting that you just stopped.
I think there's time in the day to be upset about both.
I think there can be too, but it does not.
But I'm mutually exclusive.
It seems like if you watch mainstream media,
mainstream media doesn't give a shit.
But it's funny. It's like, oh no, we're fine with all the looting. We don't like this looting, though.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's because of who's getting a cut.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely.
Looting. First of all, looting is like. I mean, it's like small time. Fucking Bernie Madoff doesn't care. Bernie Madoff wouldn't even get involved with looting. He's like, hey, I'm already busy embezzling.
Yeah.
I'm not, oh, you stole some Gucci's and a TV.
It's just,
well, that's
it's,
like
it's
some
looting,
of the companies have been like,
degree.
No, we're fine with this. Like, that's like Target released a statement like, no, we support this. You can loot. Like,
like we're covered.
Like, wait, the dude.
Well, hold on. That's just some pussy.
I
want to
say the dude literally said something like, our profits are like X. We can.
Oh,
very,
every store.
We can
total,
very
yeah.
easily mm-hmm. cover.
Yeah.
All of this, like,
completely.
We understand the outrage. It was.
I hope corporate Target's going to reimburse all their franchisees. Then
I don't know. It was very
talking a big game from a corporation who might not pay any of these expenses.
Well, it's not. They're not. It's not franchised.
Aren't they?
No. What? I thought they were all corporate.
I don't know.
I've never heard of the franchise Target now.
I just assume everything's a franchise because that's the most efficient and cheap business model.
It is the cheapest. Like, they're corporate for sure. I've worked in one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Brandon,
franchise
corporate Target shill.
Yeah, right.
Oh God, yeah. I forgot you were a shill.
I still have my red card
for the man.
No, I don't even have one.
Red card? Is that like a red
that
book?
That was the Target red credit card.
Okay,
it still is the Target credit card.
I don't know shit about Target. I don't shop there. I don't. Frankly, I don't do most of the shopping.
I don't know. You have weird blinders.
I let my woman make those decisions.
Yeah, fair enough. That's what they're there for.
In most households, it's to this day, women make the majority of the purchasing decisions in the United States,
which is
fascinating.
It is.
I mean, bitches be shopping.
They're smarter, dude. I don't know. You should learn to trust their opinion.
I don't know if there's a correlation between.
Their opinion's usually right.
They shop more, so they're smarter. Wow, Brandon, you've got somebody trained you.
I just feel like anybody could make better shopping decisions than I make when I go food shopping, because somehow I end up with like 3 bags of Cheetos, a thing of ice cream.
Maybe you do need somebody to check you.
2 wedges of cheese. See,
no bread.
Never bread. No cereal.
I have the exact opposite experience because Christine has a sweet tooth and I can't tolerate sweets. And by can't tolerate, I mean I put on 5 pounds if I eat a chocolate bar. So she's like, she eats M&M's. She'll come home with like two, not family size, but party size.
Yeah.
The biggest ones, I'm aware. Of M&M's. And those just exist on like a table somewhere in the house. And she just eats them and doesn't put on a pound and it's fine. And I'm just like, hey, did you buy like, I don't know, ground beef? milk? You picked up. She asked me the other day, should I get milk? I was like, yes, you should get milk. You're going shopping.
Hey, Christine, I stand with you. Only the essentials.
Yeah.
It's horrible. She's been getting a lot better. When we first went shopping together, oh my God, I almost had a heart attack.
Oh man.
We first lived together and I was like, what are you doing? This shopping cart is outrageous.
I don't know. This is a good time to me.
It's a great time, but I'm 35 years old.
We can't keep doing this.
I want to live to see 36, and I need working arteries and a BMI that isn't going to give me a heart attack.
Good point.
It's just, I got to get practical at some point.
Look, dude, we're all going to be dead in like 30 years anyway from climate change.
I'm not worried about climate change. I can make it through climate change.
My one buddy was like,
worried about diabetes.
You can't even turn the air conditioning on. You're not going to survive climate change.
That's exactly why I'm going to survive climate change, because temperature differences and minor inconveniences like that are not going to
be 120 degrees, Dave, literally melting.
Dave's like going to be like,
no,
I'm not turning the air on.
This
I'm not turning the air on.
We pay a power bill.
I'm still going to be fine. There won't be any power, Jay. The sea levels will have risen, destroying most of the power plants, and we'll all be living in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. We watched Mad Max, and I'll be very comfortable eating dog food and being hot.
All right.
You guys will have some kind of problem. I'll be very comfortable.
I'll be dead. Yeah,
I'm not making it.
Yeah, with that kind of attitude, you sure will, Jay.
Do I want to live in a post-apocalyptic hellscape?
It's not a survivalist mentality.
No, it's not.
It's not a warrior mentality.
Certainly
Jack.
Not.
Oh, God.
It's not a world I want to live in. I'm fine with that.
You don't want to see how it goes?
No. All right. Maybe for like a couple weeks.
If you're going to give up because of some little thing like global warming, I don't know why we watched Planet of the Apes if you didn't learn anything.
Yeah, right, man.
Dude, the end of Planet of the Apes was humanity getting enslaved by apes.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't want to see that.
Dave's ready for it.
I don't want to be enslaved
Dave's been preparing.
I don't want to be enslaved by apes, Dave. I don't know what kind of weird shit you're into. I mean, you do you. I don't kink shame, but like...
I don't know what movies you watched, but it actually turned out really well in the end.
Didn't the Earth blow up?
In that one timeline. That guy? Don't worry about that little guy.
Oh my gosh. I was wrong.
It was Earth all along.
Oh my God. So, wait, speaking of the end of the world, have you guys seen The Karate Kid?
No. Yeah, okay.
That was a rough one.
I can't edit these long episodes, guys.
Okay.
It's
you know what
I'm
I did see the 12 Karate
hour
Kid.
Days. I have no time for this nonsense. I'm planning a vacation because I realized I have like 20 days of vacation time I have to take by the end of the year. If I don't, I lose them.
Are you like cranky
and it's six
about
months in?
Are you like cranky about taking a vacation or traveling specifically?
No. I'm not gonna travel. I'm gonna
staycate.
You know my no. Actually, well, I'm gonna travel. I'm not gonna do like a plane or anything. I'm gonna drive up to Maine and visit my aunt. Okay. You know my aunt has cancer. I don't know if I.
Oh,
she's actually. I'm not good with the medical stuff. So if I get this wrong, I'm sorry. But I think she got like her last chemo treatment.
Okay. And it's a thing cancer patients get.
Right. But I'm not sure if it was because she's still going for treatments, but it's not. I think she's done with the chemo part. I don't know. Basically, they think they got all the cancer.
Oh, so she's in remission.
Like, that's good news. And I haven't seen her in forever because we've all been quarantined and you can't see
can't see somebody who's like on chemo.
Of course.
Exactly. But they've been quarantined and we've been quarantined and I'm going to get in my car. I'm not going to get on an airplane.
Good.
And I'm just going to drive up there and I'm going to spend my parents are up there right now helping out because it's just my aunt and my cousin.
Yeah.
And so my cousin's like, I'm losing my mind. and they have three dogs, three big, 60 plus pound huskies. And it's just not an easy life for my cousin right now. So I was like, you know what? We'll go up and visit and I want to see everybody and we can help out and shit. So that's going to be my vacation. But I was like, I got to get away from work a little bit. I got to use some of these vacations.
If you're working 12 hour days, that's.
It's been so. Dude, well, because I know I segued and then I pulled back, but it's just been. Into Karate Kid, but it's just been this because as the economy does weird things and people's employment do weird things, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and HUD they put these overlays on all of, like the mortgage products. So like there's all these very specific like if you're self employed, it's a fucking nightmare. And, like every day they come out with new shit. So every day I'm trying to save like existing, house purchases or refinances or whatever that were fine yesterday and are now no good and can't be insured by HUD or whoever.
Wow.
That sucks.
And so it's
that's
just
wild,
like,
yeah, it's like Wild West right now.
Oh my God.
There
it's
is
a
no
nightmare.
Coordinated response to this.
No.
I feel like in almost any aspect.
And don't quote me on this, but we it's very possible we're looking down the barrel of a housing crisis.
I've been reading as well.
I can't say for certain. There's a lot of confidence in the housing market, and there's a lot of people who are trying to buy houses, and there's not a lot of houses on the market, so that could keep prices stable, but who knows? I'm not an economist. I just do mortgages.
You just work with it.
Yeah. It's you don't study it. Not... the stuff I've been reading has not been...
Optimistic.
But it's cool because we're a week ahead, so we're actually airing 2 weeks ahead at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So we can take a week off and I can go to Maine and we can just
We could always double up. I don't mind doing two episodes a night.
No, my point is we won't have to because we're already ahead.
Yeah.
But yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, Brandon.
That we had the bank one, yeah.
Thank you. I know. I don't mind editing two episodes a week, except that I'm starting to a little bit. It's just so...
So we should probably pivot.
Have you guys seen The Karate Kid? Hit it! Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't know my script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, The Karate Kid, and also The Karate Kid with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan, yeah.
Guys, what did you think?
They were good, but like they were long-ass movies.
They were
It was
we were
like
both really long, right? Karate Kid with the original was longer than
was
I remember.
Over two
yeah,
hours.
It was over 2 hours. It was 2 hours
yeah.
six, and then the remake was 2:20.
2:20. It was. A little...
Was this? We've all seen The Karate Kid before, right?
No, I hadn't.
Brandon,
oh,
you've
you
never
haven't?
Seen
yeah.
the original. So when people were saying wax on, wax off, you just
of
thought that
I
was about
cars. I knew what
cars?
They were talking about. Again, I have this thing called pop cultural awareness that you completely lack. So when I hear references, I know what they're talking about, or I've learned
cultural
throughout my
osmosis.
Yes, thank you. I know you're missing it.
I don't believe in it. I don't think that's a real phenomenon.
It's not a phenomenon. It's just being a normal person.
I think that's called faking it.
No.
You've been pretending you've got that reference.
No, I don't stand around going, I watched The Karate Kid all my life. I don't claim to...
You've never seen Brandon get on his soapbox
so
and do that?
So you knew the reference was from a movie.
Of course, and I knew it was Karate Kid. I knew the
I
scene.
Never, so
I'd seen
I never saw Planet
times.
Of the Apes. I'm jumping to Brandon's defense here.
I'm not calling you like
it's
a
just,
poser.
It astounds me that you don't
I?
Have this. You don't have this.
I knew.
I don't spend as much time online as
I
you.
I know. You're just not media aware as I have been.
I just can't be.
But you.
Okay.
I just don't have the availability. I'm sorry.
I know. So important, Dave.
I'm not important. I'm just employed.
What you do is more important.
It's entirely different.
I've been doing this all my life, dude. This is the way. Like that's the way. I consume media is. Right. I just kind of consume it all. I don't maybe catch everything.
I knew
but
Planet
I try
of the Apes before.
And...
I just the first time I saw Planet of the Apes was what 5 weeks ago,
exactly,
and I knew most of the references in Planet of the Apes.
Right, because you've seen these references in things like Spaceballs.
Okay, that's
what Brandon's
that's
describing.
That's my point, though.
Right, but my point is you still didn't get the reference.
No, I definitely got the reference. I just didn't know the original full movie.
And right, really you knew it was
after
from The Karate
it,
Kid, but you've
after
never...
watching it, I really didn't need to. Like,
well,
I'd gotten most of it.
Frankly, Brandon, I think The Karate Kid is a moment in our cultural evolution where it became, first of all, Ralph Macchio.
I mean, he was okay. He was 20.
Wow.
He was 22.
Was he really?
He was 22.
Transformed.
Holy
Do
shit.
You remember when he was on Happy Days?
No. What?
Wasn't that a thing?
No. Was he on Happy Days? Happy Days?
I don't. I what? Honestly
Are you
don't
thinking
know.
Of Happy Days was in Scott Baio?
You might.
Who am I thinking of? Chachi?
Yeah, you're thinking of Chachi.
I am. Oh my God, I've been thinking of Chachi.
What a racist
this whole
piece
time.
Of shit Scott Baio turned out to be, by the way.
Did he?
Oh, yeah,
Scott
he's a
Baio,
giant
piece
racist piece of shit.
Well, he's Italian, so.
Is you that know. An excuse or?
They've never recovered from the Barbary. Slavery.
They really didn't.
It was a traumatic experience for my people, and you're just going to have to chalk that one up.
Dave, you're more blonde than I am. I don't understand.
So, ironically, I'm more Italian than anything else.
It's weird.
I know, right? It's that dominant Irish blood.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
you know, it's just those white genes. They take over. So strong.
Moving on.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So Scott Baio or...
Chachi is in The Karate Kid.
I might be racist. I can't tell one Italian from another. They all look alike to me. Pasta eating fucking asshole. One pasta muncher from another. What's the difference?
Oh
sauce
God.
Fairies. That's what I call them.
Oh, my
them.
God.
Yeah, they'd call it gravy, but Jeez, whatever.
You need to
it's tomato
eat
sauce.
The podcast next time.
No, this is great. This is fucking great.
I'm exhausted, so I'm trying to counteract it with a certain amount of over drunkenness.
And I didn't sleep last night, so you're getting me punch drunk. So,
do you know the words that you're saying?
Yeah. I'm trying to fuel myself with beer right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you're trying to compensate with. Yeah. No. Now I get it.
Right. It's like
feedback loop.
Exactly. It's a depressant. So it's depressing my nervous system and just allowing me to function on just it's like turning off we're turning off life support, Jay.
Oh man.
We gotta keep the shields up.
Getting dark.
Okay, I didn't know where that was going.
Oh God, you guys thought I was
You're talking about pulling the plug, Jesus.
No my
Christ.
God, I'm talking about Star Trek. Okay. Jesus Christ, you guys are dark. Anyway.
Times are dark, man.
Well.
I know.
Like the Karate Kid.
So, like, it was like, what if we could set everything to music? Like, what if there was a music montage?
That was the best part of the movie, really. Most of it, I'm sorry, everybody loves the movie, but, like, having seen it now, I'm like, it was okay.
It wasn't a bad movie.
It was okay.
Oh, every piece of music in that movie, I felt inappropriate for the scene.
Yeah, of course. Except for the
final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that, man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so cool. I was
gonna break it down.
Well, listen, hold on. Was this the first time ever we've all seen...
It's the first time I've seen the remake.
Yeah,
the
remake.
First time I've seen the original.
Right.
I saw the original.
Me too.
Bunch.
Okay. What did we think between the two?
I was surprisingly entertained by the Jaden Smith one. I thought it was going to be just absolute dog shit, and it was competent. Jackie Chan was good. Jaden Smith was okay for being 12.
12, yeah.
He was not bad.
He wasn't like a stupid kid.
He was not bad. Yeah. But that being said, it's a movie focusing on a very small child. Unlike Ralph Macchio, who was 22 playing 16.
Right.
This is a 12-year-old.
Yeah, the
whole flip is that they're in China. Mm. The movie takes place where his mom gets a job in China, and he has to move from Detroit with his mom.
I was worried it was going to be a shot for shot, which it wasn't a shot for shot. But
no, but there were definite.
But like, I think that switching the setting to China was a cool.
I like that.
instead of just doing a straight remake. And
well, as we were watching that, you know what I was thinking.
Like Chinese propaganda, because they probably dumped a shitload of money into that movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a joint. Did you see in the beginning? Like it said China picture box.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
There's there was like a statue of Mao when they were like going on the train at one point.
It was real obvious.
Oh, dude. Whenever I see anything Chinese in a movie now, Brandon, I think of you.
Thank you.
And I'm like, oh, this is because of the Chinese market.
Just like fucking RoboCop is the first one.
Exactly.
Why did half of it take place in China?
Yep. Because of the Chinese market. 100%. I thought of that immediately. I was like, oh, that's why this is in China.
Exactly. Because originally, Pat Morita is, Mr. Miyagi is Japanese.
Yeah.
Yes, he's from he's from Okinawa.
Yeah, exactly. And they were just like,
and I'm not familiar with the history of Japan and how Okinawa is not part of Japan.
No,
made
it
a,
is.
He
it
made
is.
A. Spe-
it's just.
He said, "Are you?" Well, no. Scott Baio, Ralph Macchio, says, "Are you from Japan?" And he says, "Okinawa." To which I thought he was making a distinction.
It kind of is. It's
like, are you from America, Puerto Rico?
Almost, yeah. Like,
but again, I'm not familiar with how that
works. It would
works.
Be like.
Like,
we're from New Jersey, yeah, but we're from the northwest part of it.
Well,
like,
I thought it was more like, oh, are you from China? Oh no, I'm from what's the city? Beijing? Is it which one's the one that's an independent
Taiwan?
Thing? Taiwan, thank you. No, I'm from Taiwan.
No,
I thought it was something like that.
No, it's part of Japan.
No,
it's the prefecture. It's like a big. It's like of the three big islands, it's the bottom one, the most southern.
Oh, okay,
the most
okay.
Kind
so
of
he was
semi-tropical.
He was
like,
being
if you
more
were like,
specific.
It's a cultural
I'm from
thing,
Canada.
Quebec, yeah.
Precisely. Okay, gotcha. There you go. That's perfect. That's a good way to describe
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not catch the whole fucking thing about him being in the internment camp.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this movie in years. I don't
that
know
played
you guys.
Big into it.
That was a
like,
long time.
That was a big message that was in there.
But
yeah.
I think when I was younger and I watched this movie, I was like, boring talky part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just kind of. Turn my brain off for that scene, and then watching it now, I was like, "Oh wow, there's like a really like intense
dark, deep story
thing
it,
going
yeah.
on." He, Mr. Miyagi, went and fought for the U.S. in World War II.
This is based off of like
while his family was in the internment camps.
This is based off of like a real unit. That's a real.
This
thing
was
that
a thing that actually happened for
thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you could get out of the camp is mm-hmm. you volunteered for service. So yeah, I totally missed that the first time through, and I was like, wow, they tackled some shit in here in the wax on, wax off movie.
Yeah, exactly.
In
yeah.
the crane kick.
Yeah,
silly, yeah, the silly meme.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And
it has heart. It definitely does.
It definitely does.
And they're pretty. Mr. Miyagi's a really good character. Ralph Macchio he's all right.
He's all right, but he is.
He is like the quintessential underdog, though, for sure.
And he's
like,
also a very everyman. Yeah. He's goofy
hey,
enough.
He knows people
and
in Parsippany.
Awkward
he's
enough.
Cool.
And yes.
That was great.
I noticed
I was
that,
like,
right?
Hey.
Yeah. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's bland enough to kind of
yeah.
play your everyman.
Yeah, you can project yourself on.
I actually think Jaden Smith had more of a personality.
That's mm-hmm. what I was going to say. Like, to his credit.
But Jackie Chan had less of one.
Yeah. I think his performance was good, but it's you don't normally see him
Love
playing
him.
A serious role, and he was super, super serial. And
Love
no,
him to death.
No real action.
Hated him in this role.
I thought he did okay. He brought some gravity to it, but it was just weird to see him in like
it
a,
was
not
a different
bombastic role.
Type of way. Yeah,
yeah.
It was
yes.
You don't
I feel like
him.
Jackie Chan is
I've
a...
I've never seen him as a serious actor.
A lighthearted...
Yes.
Even in movies that are very serious and have serious stuff going on, he is a...
Like what? Name another serious movie.
Oh, God, there's the one...
Like Around the World in 80 Days? No. Supercop? No.
No, there's one where what? He defends some town.
Crouching
oh
Tiger,
God.
Hidden Dragon.
No,
God, it's like every...
It.
It's such a cliche. It's like the,
oh, I think
the
I
Japanese
I
tale
know.
That every Western is
I
based
do
off
know
of
what you're
where
talking
the
about.
Lone Stranger...
I think I've seen it, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Defends the town
yeah.
from the bandits.
It's like a long movie. Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah,
I know what you're
and it's
about.
Kind of a more serious... But even then, he's not a super serious
yes.
character.
Yeah.
In this, he's so
somber. His
somber.
Wife and kid died in an accident
because
he was mad at them in the rain. Was that
they
right
got in an
it?
Argument in a rainstorm
while
and then
driving.
He crashed a car.
Okay,
that was all
that was
not as good
dark.
As
a little,
the Mr. Miyagi.
Totally,
thing,
yeah.
Though.
They could have given that a little bit more gravity. That was
I did call that in my because I figured there was going to be some family thing.
Well, they brought up
and then as soon as
kids,
they
yeah.
well was that and then like oh why do you have a car in here and I was like oh
yeah
that's he's he yeah. killed his he killed his family.
Well, you had to expect that he had some
because there was
going to
be something.
Right.
Yeah, and so that clicked with me, and I liked that he was beating the shit out of.
That
it.
Was a good,
that
was cool. Yeah,
when
yeah.
when Jaden Smith comes in and he's beating the shit out of the car, I turned to Christine and I was like, he breaks this car every year on the anniversary of his family's death, and then he rebuilds it the other 12 months out of the year so he can break it again.
Exactly what he says. Yes.
And it wasn't bad. It just...
It didn't have the same weight and didn't...
As the Mr. Miyagi.
It felt a bit more contrived, yeah.
It did. And it also, for the character of Jackie Chan, the character he was playing... That character, I didn't feel like you related to as well as Mr. Miyagi,
no.
Who was, he had a sadness to his character when you learn about his backstory.
But he wasn't
but
a sad
Miyagi
guy.
Was a, he yeah. wasn't a sad guy.
Jackie Chan this was a sad yes. guy.
He was actually a very positive guy. Forgive us, because I'm going to reference something we were talking about before the podcast. He has a warrior's mentality, mm-hmm. Jay. A person who's not violent, but who would say, you've got to persevere, and you got to use violence in a sense. That was... Talk about on topic for the crazy world we live in.
Wrong pipe.
You're right. Oh my gosh. Wrong pipe. Go ahead. Okay.
This is why we need the cough button.
It is. You set it up.
Rip the cord out while you're coughing. Anyway.
Right.
But wait, who are you saying has who?
Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, okay.
He has a warrior mindset.
I think Jackie Chan did too.
Yes, but Jackie Chan was more of like the somber.
Sorry, Mr. Han.
Mr. Han. Mr. Han, he had this very somber, whereas you can be a happy warrior.
Yeah.
You
oh,
can
no, no,
be
totally.
A person
yeah, yeah.
who is trying to catch a fly with chopsticks.
Yeah.
And a person who, you know, who perseveres and has, and
still,
faces
like,
hardship
still
head
laughs
on.
And still like,
and still jokes. Mm-hmm. He was a very funny character.
Yeah, he was.
With the boat where he tips him off.
Yeah,
the boat.
Absolutely.
Even corny things were very funny because Mr. Miyagi, I don't know the actor's name.
Pat Morita.
His performance is so relatable and so likable that
yeah.
you can see him, and he's also believable when he's kicking ass.
Yes.
Even though the only time you see him kick ass is when he beats a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. But those teenagers had it coming.
They definitely did.
Honestly, that's arguably more impressive because those kids are like in the prime of their life.
Yeah, and there were like five of them.
Yeah. And he's like an old man. Yeah,
I thought Jackie Chan did a good job, but you're right.
I thought
Pat Morita is above that.
My biggest disappointment about the remake was Jackie Chan's performance.
But how surprised were you that it was like a relatively competent movie?
I thought it was going to be a rough remake.
I thought it was going to be pretty bad.
Relatively competent.
Yeah. Fairly entertaining. How about that?
Fairly entertaining. The martial arts were much better.
Yes. They were really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because let me tell you, the martial arts in the original one, upon rewatch,
yeah, not good.
I know we're not a visual medium, but I don't know why you would stand with your hand crooked up at a strange angle to against your opponent. Like, Daniel's stance is so impractical and off balance and terrible. I mean, I'm not even talking about the crane stance, which is ridiculous.
That alone is ridiculous.
And is a kung fu move.
Indefensible. Cannot defend.
Cannot defend. Yeah, the move is indefensible, is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well... We should also talk about, if you want to get technical, like the remake is a lie because it's not the Karate Kid, it's the Kung Fu Kid.
The Kung Fu Kid. Yeah.
And the crane stance from the original Karate Kid is a Kung Fu technique.
Oh, is it?
I didn't know.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
So Kung Fu is this very interesting martial art that is both super ineffective and impractical and super effective and practical in very specific circumstances.
Okay.
Developed by monks as a way to defend against professional soldiers with fewer people, with highly trained. But you have to be in such good shape to do Kung Fu. Like, I couldn't do Kung Fu. You saw when they went to the temple in the Jackie Chan one.
Yeah,
I thought
that was
a really cool.
That was a cool. Again, I liked that. Part of it felt like, you know, a China Tourism Board video.
Absolutely.
Because they were
well,
showing
even
off
like
great
in the beginning
scenery.
Of the movie. Sorry to sidetrack.
No, go ahead.
But even in the beginning of the movie, when they're in the bus, they're like tour guide or liaison or whatever is like, the Olympic Plaza.
The propaganda
lady. Yeah,
oh,
the propaganda lady.
You're assigned propaganda officer.
Your state handler. Yeah.
And then the mom is like, see, look, new stuff. Like, look at this fun stuff in China. You should
China
come
is
to
so
China.
Great. Hello, I am Judy.
If you're going to watch the remake, just go in knowing that it was a joy.
That made it more enjoyable
to
me because it was so blatant. Like, I was laughing at that.
Like, they weren't hiding the fact that they were like, we're trying to drum up, you know, tourism and support for our country.
Oh, everything Chinese in this movie seemed a little propaganda-y.
Yeah,
including that trip to the temple.
Yeah.
That was great. It was beautiful.
Even though his whole thing, I felt like it kind of fell flat because they got there.
Their reason for being there was a little bad, but it was cool to see.
And he was like, if you drink from this fountain.
But as they're walking up, you see all the, and as they get there, you're seeing
that
all these like super professional martial artists doing crazy, crazy stuff.
And you get the foreshadowing for the end of the for the crane kick of this movie.
Yeah.
Which is the if you clear your mind, you can fool snakes. Mm-hmm. And snakes are like people. And it was a little bit convoluted.
It was better
than a crane kick, but also a little bit silly.
It was a pretty sick kick. I will say that was fucking
But I'd
crazy.
Rather get my...
Martial arts were much better in this
I'd
movie.
Rather get my martial art wisdom from Pat Morita than Jackie Chan.
Yeah, me too.
At least Jackie Chan in this movie, because he was just kind of like, yeah, and then I came up here and I drank the water and, you know.
And I'm
now I'm immortal and have god powers.
I drank the quickening.
And you saw all those great, like, extreme martial artists who took, like, a lifetime of training.
Yeah.
You have to be in amazing physical condition to perform kung fu effectively. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen... I'll try to link some stuff
in the
show notes.
I've seen where they throw, like, needles through glass. I've seen that. That's like...
I'm not even talking about that. Okay. Because you see... You see them do like these crazy moves, and a lot of times you see them drilling solo, and the moves look kind of silly and twisty and bendy. Like the guy who was doing a split on the railings,
it
seems so impractical. I'll try to link some stuff, but there's some really interesting videos where they show how these moves work in combat, like how they're almost like sand the floor, and it's like it looks silly while you're doing it, but. If when you see it executed against somebody, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in kung fu. It looks silly, but like if you are a perfectly conditioned individual, you can pull it off like beautifully. But somebody like me, like there's something like what's the Israeli martial art?
Krav Maga.
You don't have to be in great shape for it. It's super like universal.
It's for the soldiers. It's for everybody.
It's for everybody. It's for your grandmother.
Yes.
It's for anybody. You don't have to. I mean, you're better at it, obviously, if you're in shape, but you don't have to be. The technique is built for that for your everyman. So the differences between the two movies, martial arts wise, were really fascinating. And the horribleness of Karate Kid in its martial arts compared with the really well choreographed scenes in the Karate Kid with Jaden Smith was just this stark, amazing difference.
Totally.
Where the Jaden like, Smith version obviously
it
wins.
Was people pretending to do. Karate in Karate Kid, and this was actual martial artists clearly having people advise on set. Jackie Chan is a world-renowned martial artist.
You also have to remember that Scott Baio is a terrible martial artist.
Yeah.
So all the scenes where someone else is doing martial arts are a lot better than the scenes where Scott Baio is doing the martial arts. You know what I'm talking about.
Watching like Power Rangers martial arts is really what it was in the original.
It wasn't even as good. And the ones that Ralph Macchio is in, it's like it's so bad. The Cobra Kai guys are like, okay, they got some moves. I could see and then they fight Scott Baio, and they all tone it down. They're all of a sudden they don't have any moves.
Their skills go right out the window.
It's like grab, throw, and kick in the face.
Because they gotta bring it down a notch for the Karate Kid because he's an actor and not a martial artist. And I thought they did a much better job with that in the Jaden Smith 3.
Yeah, I mean, although I the rivals were just so evil in the remake, weren't they? I mean, they were.
I feel like they did an equally good job of portraying the rivals as just fucking psychos in both. And the coach, I liked the coach.
The dickbag coach.
He reminded me of fucking Shooter McGavin. It wasn't the same actor, but
no such thing as bad student, only bad teacher.
Yeah,
so true.
Yep,
it goes back to what we were talking about before too about the Warriors coach. Right? You gotta. If you teach it wrong, people are gonna fucking get the wrong message and do stupid shit. Like the guys at Cobra Kai, they were teaching a bunch of young kids how to be assholes, and that's not what martial arts is about. It's about Mr. Miyagi and Mr. Han. And discipline and focus.
It's about the cake, the kid in both movies. But
the
idea behind martial arts is what you're saying.
Yeah, the teaching.
The correct.
The philosophy.
The lineage.
Yeah.
Well, Jaden Smith, he says it, right? It's about, or they say it in one of the movies, right? It's about self-defense. It's not about, Yeah, they say something.
Oh, when Jaden Smith is trying to convince his mom,
right?
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of say
both movies delivered really good messages about martial arts and how it really isn't about fighting; it's about discipline and it's about testing yourself
and perseverance and
perseverance. Mm-hmm. And fighting should be the best way to stop a fight, to win a fight, is to not have one.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's it's funny because when we do drills, back when I had a dojo that I went to, sad face. When new students would come in, we would do encounter drills where it would be like you're walking through a parking lot or a parking garage and there's a group of five, young kids, and they come up to you and like, how do you handle it? And some of them you would fight. It was supposed to be like an escape drill. How do you get out of a bad situation? But there would always be one black belt who would, or somebody else as soon as he got encountered, he would just turn around and walk out through the lobby and like leave the building.
That's pretty funny.
It was always like an aha moment for the younger students, where it was just like, oh yeah, okay, the most efficient way to, especially if they're being encountered by five people.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's really interesting, not to get sidetracked, because like,
well, it's a movie about martial arts. This is gonna happen anyway.
Well, we learned things like people don't like sick people. So if people are, when you're being victimized, professional victim hunters look for victims. They don't want to, you don't want to mug somebody or rape somebody or something worse to somebody who's capable. You want to pick the weak, the sick lamb,
I see what you're saying.
Calf. You want to pick the weak member of the pack.
Right.
You can isolate and there's no chance that they're going to fight back. And so one of the things, when you're looking for a target, I don't want to get close combat on you with a sick person. What if you have a horrible disease? I mean, not to say anything bad about AIDS, but what if you have AIDS? You don't want people to get anything on. So one of the things we would talk about is make yourself, you want to give them, you want to de-escalate the situation and be like, so you would go up and you would cough.
You basically, like, oh, turning yourself into a target before they even,
I'm looking for the train station. And as you do this, you're extricating yourself from the situation and you're throwing these people up. They didn't expect you to be an X factor. So all of a sudden you're not as likely. Well, they don't want, it's like fighting a shark. You don't, they want easy prey.
Right.
Yeah. Shark doesn't want to lose an eye. It might not be able to hunt its next prey more as effectively. So once you become too much of a problem, your threat is most likely going to find somebody else to bother. Mm-hmm. And there's a multitude of ways to do that. And when you learn martial arts correctly, you learn of them.
That's good.
And
that's the way it should be taught.
Which is why The Karate Kid is such a great movie in both these instances. They do a great job of that.
That is the point of both of these movies.
For both those teachers were just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, I want you to break his fucking leg. God.
Well, that's the thing in
you,
both.
11-year-old, I want you to snap that fucking 11-year-old's leg. What the fuck was that?
Is that fireworks or was that...
I was upstairs.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that was, the coaches were just evil, evil, evil.
Yeah, evil McBadface coaches. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, which is what you, I guess, what you.
Yeah,
want.
No, in a sports movie, and that's the trope you want, and they portrayed it well.
These coaches had no depth. They were pure bad. Yes. It was just the students were redeemable. Some of the students had a little bit
hesitation
of
hesitation, and
there was the kid, and the first one who broke his leg, and he said he was sorry.
Yeah,
he was like, that was the weird thing too. Is there were varying degrees of hatred.
I know.
And the original Karate Kid, do you remember the locker room scene where the blonde kid, who's not the main blonde kid, goes apeshit on Daniel? And I looked at Christine and I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Is he even friends with the other kid?
I know.
This isn't the guy whose girlfriend Daniel's banging. This isn't even the other long-haired kid who turns out to break his, like, the cackling kid who breaks
his
leg.
It would have been
like
an interesting
guy.
This is just a like third a dude who hates Daniel with such a visceral, like, he was like, you could see the spittle just like coming out of his mouth. This guy, veins popping out of his neck, and I was like, is this the first scene this character has been in?
I feel like maybe he was supposed to be the villain, and they're like, ooh, maybe we should just, we're gonna move that scene around. You can still stay on, be like the henchman, but it's going to go to this guy who's a bit more normal.
It was very weird.
Yeah, that was a weird scene.
Yeah, I thought I really think that guy, I couldn't even remember him being a henchman earlier. I was like, why is this guy so upset? He is taking Daniel is going out with his
friend's ex-girlfriend
very seriously.
Hard. Very hard, yeah.
Oh my God, there were, and again, I don't take a lot of notes anymore, but I couldn't help but take a couple. Oh. Oh, fuck. I wish I had written down where this plaque was. There. Oh, at the. I think it was at the high school. When Daniel in the original shows up at the high school, there's like a plaque on the wall, and it says, "Truth, Liberty, Toleration."
Huh?
It was you. If blinked, then you would have missed it. And it struck me because I don't think toleration is a word.
Say, it's not a word.
Isn't it tolerance?
Yeah.
Tolerance. Yeah. It was. I think it was on the high school or on something that they just panned across. And I was like, what the fuck? I went back. I rewound it.
Like, that is not a word.
Absurd. And somebody, not only is it not, but somebody made it into a plaque.
Wow.
Like, they didn't catch that until after the plaque construction was completed.
I wonder if that's real or, like, I would have, yeah.
I don't know if that was a real thing on like a landmark or if like it was a movie thing.
It was probably just a bad set design.
It could be that.
You would imagine.
You would hope. I don't know. It seemed like they filmed at a school, though.
I really liked a lot of Mr. Miyagi's wisdoms that were obviously good before, but still, they just hit me with renown, with a renowned sense of
renewed
sense of impact.
Yeah,
where this time around was karate never here, and I was like, is he talking about in your gut or in your belt or in your
dick.
What these gestures? The first was clearly the head and the heart. What are you gesturing?
Don't
to
fight
Mr.
people
Miyagi?
If you're hungry.
Yes. Yes. It sounds good, and that's also good advice.
I mean,
Don't
take fighting advice from anything below your solar plexus.
Wise beyond his years, Mr. Miyagi. We talked about the soundtrack. I obviously made a note about that. Everything was inappropriate,
but still gloriously 80s.
It was very 80s. It was just like just terrible sound choices until the end. I like that they both ended on the freeze frame. I thought that was a cool, homage to the 80s. Because you know that doesn't happen anymore. That's
never.
A very 80s way never. To end a movie
or end a sitcom
a freeze frame. And I like when you do a little shout out like that.
Yeah.
I thought the movies were consistent. The remake was consistent enough with the original to pay homage, and yet also stand on its own 2 feet.
Yeah. Oh, hey, no,
guys,
you could have.
This is a good remake.
This is a good remake.
Oh, shit.
I will say this is a good remake.
It's not the greatest film. It's a good remake.
You know what? I think you're right about that. Yeah. I think it's a good remake.
Like, I was more entertained by the newer one than the older one. Not by much, but I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was just more sucked into it. And I feel like even though I'd never seen the original.
Well,
one,
the older one holds a nostalgia, so I feel like you would probably be the best judge of that for everybody.
I have no nostalgia. Because
for me, it holds a nostalgia, so I'm going to say the older one was a little
bit
better.
Zero nostalgia for me.
I want to say that too, Jay, but I also feel like a 2.5 hour movie for a remake. Like,
well, they were both fucking long.
They were both long. And I forgot how long the original beginning
was.
Like before he gets into the training and it gets good.
Yeah.
There's like a good half hour where it's just like he's kind of whiny and he's mad at his mom.
Well, I mean, fucking even Jaden Smith took like an hour and a half to get to training too. To actual training.
It was just shot it's different shooting styles because you know, 30 years in between.
Yes.
But like those boring parts
they still
cinematically,
there was still enough going on screen.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kept you engaged.
Like it was like
plus you had to read subtitles.
A one shot and a one shot.
That was fucking frustrating.
I know.
Yeah. I'm like, I have to keep looking now because they're talking. Oh no.
Especially, and maybe this is just me, especially because for the villains, I had a hard time connecting with them as villains when I had to read everything they said.
Yeah, it was a little bit harder. Yeah.
They would be like, bop, 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 is my Peanuts version. And I'd be like, I guess that sound intimidating? Was it meant to be intimidating? What did they say?
Right.
He said, I really don't like stay away from my girlfriend. And it took some like the gut, like, oh, villains away for me. I don't know.
Don't fuck with me like that.
What?
Were you looking at a spider or something like that?
Oh,
what
no.
I thought you were, you saw like a spider. You were like staring at the floor by me. I was like,
are you on mushrooms?
No, I was just.
No, you. What are you
over here? You're okay?
You were like
are you
staring
okay?
down. And you said, "Get away from my girlfriend." I was like, "Oh yeah, she's afraid of spiders. Is there a spider behind me?"
I was talking about the subtitles.
I got you now. I thought you were literally taking a side.
Oh, okay. No, but there is a spider on your shoulder. You should take
it. Brandon, oh my god, you just like disassociated.
No, I just have arachnophobia.
Like he just went out of the hierarchy of society and was just he was out there. All of a sudden, I was like, "Do I know Brandon? Who is this guy? What is he saying to me right now?"
I always got to be vigilant for spiders.
It's
They're the worst.
All right. No, fair enough. Good. Okay. Thank you for protecting us. Yeah. To be fair, though, I did have some problems with the remake.
Oh, yeah.
That DDR scene was cringy as fuck.
Okay,
I couldn't watch that. I had to look away.
I wonder if that was for China, too.
I hate when they do video games.
I got a feeling DDR is big over there.
It is.
Sorry. Jay, go ahead.
I hate when they do video games and movies.
Yes.
That's always my, as a video game person, like, it's one of my biggest pet peeves, because what they do is they gin up some stupid, like, coded in, I don't know, Java or some shit, instead of doing a real game, which DDR is a real fucking game, and they use a real DDR pad.
Not correctly.
Not correctly at all.
No.
They just...
I've never played DDR, and I know they did that wrong.
Like,
you're not supposed to look like you're in a music video when you're doing that?
Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
It's not actual dancing.
Huh. It's just that kind of stuff. Oh, and it's the same thing when you do, like, when you see people playing an Xbox, like, they'll have an Xbox controller, and they're playing this, like, very obviously done in, like, Flash or Java or on an Xbox One with the graphics of a 32-bit system.
Those are painful.
I don't know why. It's just one of my pet peeves.
You are allowed to have someone playing video games as long as all they're doing is it's off screen and they're working a controller.
Yeah. Yep, that's all.
Just keep it to that if you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. Just don't have the video game on screen at all. I'm sure DDR got... So for anyone who's not familiar, DDR is a game, an arcade game called Dance Dance Revolution, where you jump around on a pad that has different directions on it in sync with what's going on the screen.
Yeah.
It's very popular. I've seen a lot of people do it. It's very impressive if you execute it correctly.
Yes, yeah. You just look like a crazy river dancer.
I'm not trying to talk down to DDR people here.
It's an extremely skills-based game. Like, it's fucking wild when you see people do
it. And I'm sure DDR got a fucking chunk a cash for this, or rather they probably paid to have their shit in the movie.
Do you think though, like, I always wonder if that's the reason why they do that. Like, do you have to pay
for legal purposes? There's just no way they would have had it featured that much in the movie without at least talking to the people who make the game,
of course.
Yeah.
So somebody works on, and I'm sure over there at DDR,
I don't know, it is a Chinese production.
You're right, maybe Mao Zedong came back from the grave and said, you have to give your rights to them to make this
they
movie.
Love to knock shit off and not give any credit.
That, no, like, did you ever see the
they don't appreciate copyrights
at all.
What's it called? Super Mario Maker, right? Mario. So they made in China, they made a knockoff. I think it's just called Super Box Maker.
Oh God.
Or just Box Maker. And it's this, like, it's
a blatant rip.
So blatantly Super Mario Maker with the same color scheme, everything like that. When you collect the coins, it plays
the
Mario song.
They don't.
And they just changed it out for a rabbit and shitty controls.
It must be nice to just manipulate your economy.
Like, you could just do whatever the fuck you want.
Dissenters quietly and glom off the rest of the world's advancements.
Fucking wild.
It's gotta be phenomenal.
China don't give a fuck.
It really is.
That's crazy.
I don't know, man. That's a whole different. We could spend all day talking about China. This movie was very pro China.
Yeah,
including the scene on the Great Wall.
God,
which was also cringeworthy.
God.
Because why are you on the Great Wall and why are you doing this?
I don't know.
First of
all, it was like Jaden Smith's tour of China. Like,
It was that whole scene was like,
it was silly.
Why are you at the Great Wall?
For publicity reasons.
It was for the scene.
Yes, it was.
There was no practical reason why they needed to go there to practice.
Absolutely not.
He didn't have him run the length of the wall. At least that would have been like I think it's impossible. But like, at least you could have had like a wall. You need. They weren't even there. Like, hey, you gotta climb the wall, and that's your next. They were just doing like calisthenics on the wall.
It was another propaganda. It was part of it. Yeah.
That was the worst part of this movie, was all the shameless China plugs.
And the DDR scene.
The gi. So the gi the original one was Mr. Miyagi's wife had sewed the patch that went on the gi, and it was Mr. Miyagi's like school or whatever.
Bonsai tree, whatever.
And in the bonsai tree, which had a connection to him doing bonsai trees with him in the beginning. It was all kind of full circle.
Mm-hmm.
In the new one, Jackie Chan just gives him a Bruce Lee looking gi.
Buys him a Bruce Lee one.
Which didn't have an icon on it whatsoever, I don't think. And which Jaden Smith goes, oh my God, it's just like the one Bruce Lee wore, which had to be just such a slap in the face to an accomplished film martial artist like Jackie Chan.
I think he loved making this.
Who still lives in Bruce Lee's shadow to this day.
But I think he was laughing all the way to the back. I don't think he had a problem.
I'm sure he was, but at the same time, it was just...
He's super into, like, helping film and...
Very nice guy, Jackie Chan. Seems like a very
nice
guy.
He is, I've heard. I've heard he's a nice guy.
but I also have heard that he...
He will always live in Jackie Chan's shadow.
He will always... Well, Bruce Lee's shadow. Sorry, Bruce Lee's will always live in Bruce Lee's shadow, and I've heard him say things about
Bruce
Lee.
He's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
A little bit. And fair enough, everyone has been... And Bruce Lee was like this
but
star forever.
Not for nothing, when you talk about Chinese martial artists, it's Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, so...
It is.
It's not like...
I just felt it was weird to have in a movie starring Jackie Chan, the second most popular movie martial artist of all time, to be like, oh my God, just like the one Bruce, my hero Bruce Lee wears.
Well, they can't say Jackie Chan.
Oh, I know, but it feels like they should.
No. Also, he doesn't have an iconic outfit.
I think I would have been okay if he had just been like, oh my God, just like the one Jackie Chan wears.
Like,
and then Jackie Chan just gave like a wry smile to the camera, like
no,
a wink and a nod.
That would have been terrible. And then already
mediocre
movie.
I don't know that it would have been
movie.
Any worse than the gi from Bruce Lee.
I don't know. It was something recognizable for people.
What was with the skateboard?
That played
at the beginning. It was just
never
like
played into anything.
Yeah,
ever
no,
again.
I think it was just like a hey, here's a gift for you.
But his friend that we never see again
but
gave
we
him one.
Thought it would be like a thing.
You kind of figured that he would ride it around or something, but it was just
he doesn't ride it once. It's
no.
Like
it's just like it's just given.
Yeah. Maybe there's a deleted scene or something. But
well, I think there were reshoots and a lot of that shit because they didn't make it. I thought it was going to be like his kids in China don't know how to skateboard. This is how we do it in America.
No, he goes there and gets his ass handed to him within 5 minutes.
Yeah, and he forgets he owns a skateboard.
Yeah.
And that kid who was friends with him in the beginning, he has like that big heart.
They really show
just
up.
Just take it. Just take the skateboard. And never comes up again. Nope. So they cut all that out. And then what was the Mohawk guy at the end? Tell me you remember Mohawk.
Oh,
with the
yeah. His getting ready for battle is to style a Mohawk.
Everybody else would bow or do something, and he would style his Mohawk.
Rock and roll.
And he was like, that character had more characterization.
Like, I want to know about that guy.
Than all of the villain guy's friends, the main villain's crew.
Well, again, the villain is an 11-year-old, so it's.
But he was in the movie. The Mohawk guy was in the movie for 5 minutes.
Yeah, he was.
And he got. So much play.
Yes.
I was so impressed. I was like, damn, this guy's agent is killer. Yeah, he just must have really just killed it at the casting call where everyone was like, oh, Mohawk guy's got attitude. We want him to get some more camera time. I don't think he even spoke once.
No. He just seemed like...
But he was a more relatable character than everybody else except for...
All the maniacs on the other side.
Our three main dudes. Yeah. Jaden Smith, Jackie Chan, and Villain Kid.
Yeah.
Although, Jaden Smith's mom... And love interest got a fair amount of characterization.
Yeah. No, I thought they were good supporting characters.
Right.
Not nothing to write home about, but good. They served their purpose. They did it really well.
At least Jaden Smith's mom came to the tournament at the end.
Yeah.
Daniel's mom doesn't even go.
What the fuck?
She's a single mom. She had to work.
Fair point. So is Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she seems like she was more...
She was more established.
She took a...
I don't know, though, because she was from Detroit, and at some point she says, there's nothing for us back there. Which makes me think like her job was maybe... She didn't relocate by choice. She had to.
It seemed like... I don't know.
It didn't seem like a promotion. It seemed like, hey, listen, you're moving to China, and if you... we're shutting down the factory or whatever.
Fair enough.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't read it that way, but
they didn't really give...
That's the sense I got.
They didn't give
too
much backstory, but...
It's shutting down factories. It's kind of their thing.
Yeah, it was 2010.
True.
Right.
True that.
Yeah, it was like right in the middle of that.
So that's the feeling I got.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you actually might be right on that.
And you look at their apartment in China. It's nothing fancy.
No.
It's like
Well, it's China.
Yeah.
I feel like are there fancy?
A lot that like normal. That's like a normal people place.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure that's nice for China actually, because I've seen. But I don't know where they were. Do we know where in China
Beijing.
Were they? Were they supposed to be in Beijing?
Yes.
Okay. So real estate prices probably. Whoop.
I don't know, but yeah.
Probably extreme.
I'd imagine.
But all in all, a competently made remake with some improvements when it comes to the martial art.
And not for nothing, the exotic locale kind of helped it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, putting it in China instead of...
Definitely did. I'm sure it helped in the Chinese market.
Yeah. I bet it killed there.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, it had to, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially when you're rebranding it with Kung Fu and Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
It's like, what did you guys think of the take off the jacket?
No, it was just like a
new
thing.
Yeah.
It's not, no, there's nothing to nitpick there.
I remember, like, you gotta remember, kid's supposed to be like 11. Mm-hmm. So that is something an 11-year-old does.
Right.
Like leaving the jacket on the floor all the time.
Oh, I thought it was good.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was a good characterization.
I thought it was, it's different, you know?
I thought it played well to, yeah, his characterization, mm-hmm. the character of the character.
Okay.
And again, it's that's that warrior culture again, which is just like, you don't throw your jacket on the ground. That's, mm-hmm. that's a half-assed measure. You hang your jacket with respect. Like, who's going to pick up that jacket?
I like that for the respect thing. I think that was an interesting, like, a way to go about it, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, discipline.
And obviously, I didn't think the maneuvers were as well delineated with sand the floor and wax on, wax off.
Yeah, that's what, like, it was missing some of the training stuff. There was too plot heavy in the beginning.
It seemed a bit of a stretch.
You missed the glorious montage. Like, they didn't really indulge in, like, the glorious... Mm. Like seeing all the moves that we're going to see in the final fight later montage. I really didn't see any of that.
Right. He was just, he took off his jacket, he put it on,
and then he
was good at martial arts.
Well, he had to go on a pilgrimage.
He drank from the fountain.
He had to go on a tourist pilgrimage to the most beautiful place in China, apparently.
I'm also watching a lot of Avatar right now, so it's like...
Oh, fair enough.
Remember I said I don't have room in my brain for any
you
new,
really don't.
New content? I'm just rewatching Avatar.
Oh, Dave, I'm worried about you.
It's great to put on in the background while I'm working.
It's an anime, right?
Yeah, it was the
American.
Have you
seen Avatar?
It's like the Airbender thing, right?
Yeah,
dude.
Wasn't it like Nickelodeon's the biggest show?
I'd tell you to watch it, but then it won't help because you still haven't watched Battlestar Galactica or any of the other.
I do it just to make you
angry. The Clone Wars or any other brilliant.
Hey, listen, if you can have too much media bandwidth, I can have too much media bandwidth.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You're
fair.
If you want to cut off your nose to spite your face, that's
absolutely.
Spite my face? I don't know who.
I'm spiting your face.
You're cutting off your nose, spiting my
face.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. You're absolutely. It's within your rights to do so. But if you... Avatar is possibly the best cartoon I've ever seen ever.
Everybody watches it.
Like a cartoon taken as a real show.
Yeah.
Like oh my God. You've seen it, right, Brandon?
I've seen parts of it. Like, I've seen a couple, but I never got into it. But I know it's got a huge following.
It's free on Netflix right now.
Oh, fair enough.
It's... I won't say anything. The episodes are 22 minutes long. They're really short. It's not that long of a series, and it is the writing and the artistry are fabulous, but primarily the writing, the characterization of these cartoons that you're just like, by the end of three seasons, only three seasons long, that you're like, oh my God. So totally worth it if you guys are looking for just a silly little, like,
I will put it on the list, but I'm not looking for something like that right now, I guess.
That's fine. Hey, listen, I don't have the bandwidth for it either. So, yeah. I mean, I do because I've already seen it. But
I respect that.
Yep.
I totally get that.
Anything else?
What should we do next? Watch them both.
Oh, Ben mentioned that we should do Scarface. That if he comes back, let's hold off on Scarface until Ben comes out for an episode.
Ben who?
Kaiser.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, we should. Scarface had a remake?
Yeah, that's been on. It was like first on our list. It is a remake of like a 1934 film, something like that.
Oh, Scarface itself is a remake?
King Kong era. Yes, Scarface is itself a remake, and I believe they are remaking it as well. I'm like very sure they are.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's look into that.
Yeah,
we should see when the remake's coming out.
He expressed interest, so I was like,
all right. So we'll hold off on
that. Reserve that one. I just wanted to mention it.
No Scarface.
No, fair enough. We don't have any idea what we're doing next week, right? Because we don't talk about this stuff before the podcast.
We look it up. Make you edit it. I'm sorry.
For you guys who aren't here, what we're like off air, it's similar to what we're like on air, which is that we get sidetracked a lot.
Because like all of us have ADD.
And then sometimes we just don't talk about important things like, I don't know what we're going to watch next week.
Sometimes we forget to even say it. Well, we text each other later like, wait, did we bring up what we were going to watch?
And then sometimes we'll decide and it'll be like, Karate Kid, okay. And then everybody texts each other on Sunday night and goes, what was it?
We could do Star Wars.
Yeah.
Jay, I don't want... We just got done with Planet of the Apes, man.
Well, you want to do all Star Wars? Is that the idea?
We'll get to it eventually, man.
Brandon doesn't like Star Wars anymore. It's like he grew up and became an old, unfun man.
Well,
like,
listen. I can understand
that. I think
I've
seen enough Star Wars.
Oh, look at him. He's grown out of Star Wars. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, I think I've seen enough. That is an interesting attitude, Brandon. So, I don't know that I disagree with it.
I'm not really excited about anything Star Wars anymore. Like, I can't. I don't know.
I love the world of Star Wars, but everything that they seem to release seems to be a load of
garbage. Yeah, that's part of it.
So as much as I have a great love for the universe, it's like how I feel about Game of Thrones.
Like the old universe I loved.
I love the universe of Game of Thrones.
Just
I love
anything
that story. It's just everything they seem to put out seems to be hot garbage. Or just really unsatisfying, like these new, like George R. R. Martin is like co-author of a billion different books that are not the next book everyone's waiting for. And I'm just like, how could you, like, do you think people like you for that?
He's just trolling people.
That's, he might be. I've caught up on all the Game of Thrones books.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Audio books. I listen to them while I work and shit.
I haven't read them since, I want to say I haven't read them since Hurricane Sandy. Like, holy shit.
Really fascinating, the storylines that they leave out and they change. And
I told you, like, what do you, Euron Greyjoy, compare Euron Greyjoy in the
books
to fucking Euron Greyjoy in the series. Euron Greyjoy's a frat boy in the series.
Well, that's,
and in the books, he's just a badass.
Watching the show, I mean, obviously, I think we've talked about how I wasn't a huge fan of the last couple seasons. Now that I've read the books, I'm just appalled.
Yeah, how disappointing is it?
How is it? The books are, and I hate to be, the books are so much better, guy, but the books are so much better,
they
guy.
Are 100%.
Like,
He does a lot of extraneous world building that I personally appreciate from like a, it can definitely get long. It can absolutely get long, but like,
as someone like who's been listening to them as an audiobook while I work, it's not that bad because like sometimes I just zone out and then he'll talks about a castle for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He's just like, and the stones were brought over 600 years ago from the, and I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I'm writing an email or whatever.
And then you come back and in and it's a
and
fucking
it's like,
battle.
And then all of a sudden somebody popped out of the throne room and there was a thing and I'm like, okay, well, and here's the interesting part. So it's not bad. I get through that pretty seamless. But I think, again, I'm listening to them versus reading them, so I can understand how it might be a little
It can
slow.
Get a little tedious, but I kind of like that in my high fantasy. So.
Oh, yeah, man. I want to say the world building, but it's even so much more than the world building. It's everything. It's the characterization. And also, when you're writing a book versus doing a show, you have the advantage of being able to give your audience the internal monologue of a character, which is such a different thing than when you're making a show or a movie. And unless you have a narrator, you kind of have to express all that through visual or through a conversation with another character. And there's so much that he does in the internal monologue of a character and having those different chapters from a specific viewpoint of a character versus the show, which just like a scene is just a scene. It's not necessarily Cersei's in the scene, but it's not necessarily from her viewpoint, you know? And you get so much more of the character in the book that I was just like, whoa. And there are so many more characters to the point where I can't remember half of them. Like these minor characters.
Yeah. Well, you look at the either the backs or the fronts of every single novel, I guess you do the audiobook so you wouldn't see, but in the backs or fronts or whatever, that it must be like 20 pages of family trees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's wild.
Oh, I should
it's
look those
It's fucking
up.
Wild. Yeah. And then it talks about the houses and the history and the, like,
which is all great. I
yeah,
dig
oh,
all
I love
of it.
That. I love that.
But it is confusing when you're like, you're talking about somebody's third cousin.
So you can almost, and what I've done at times in the book is I'm like, oh, wait, who the fuck is this? It's a Lannister, but I don't know who the fuck it is. All right, I'm going to turn to the back and, oh, here's a Lannister family tree. Oh, it's such and such and such and such a son or daughter, which I didn't think I would use that as much as I did in the books, but I was actually like happy that I had those.
Oh, dude, I thought the family trees and the characters in this show were extraneous.
Yeah.
And then you read the books and you're like, he's talking about people who aren't even going to play a role in this story, who are just related to some guy who is related to some guy.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really, kudos
but like,
to him.
Good that's serious world building where some people will be like, well, why do you need that? To me, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah.
And if he manages to get all seven books
Never
done before
happen.
He dies,
Never
I will happen. I will applaud him generously. But as it is, he does seem like he may be taking up a little too much time with a bit of frivolous nonsense when he could be finishing the book. I don't care about Jaime Lannister's fourth cousin. Hey, finish the sixth book. Let's just wrap it up for all the main people.
Yes, yes. And then bring in the side stories, right? Yeah. That's usually how it goes, right? You finish the main series, and then you have your spinoffs. But he's like, no, let's just do some spinoffs.
Oh, and there's so many people. Like, I can usually follow. It's like Jaime Lannister. Okay, I remember him from the show, so I follow along. And he's a little different in the books, and he does different stuff, and he's in different scenarios.
I feel like he's more of an asshole in the books.
Yes and no. But my point is was that there's characters that aren't even in the books where they're just like, oh, it's like, oh, Brown Ben Plum.
Yeah.
And you're just like, who's a fairly important, not integral, but like important character in Daenerys' storyline and Tyrion's. And he just does not exist in the show to my recollection.
Yes.
Maybe they say his name.
Well, even
Quentin Martell. Oh, they never bring him up.
Yeah, no, he's not. There's a lot. Because there's fucking, when you look at the family trees, you see, like, it's fucking,
so many.
When they're spread out, it's like, yeah, they could never bring up all these people and have a TV audience. You wouldn't be able to keep track of all those in.
You know what's way more succinct and crisp and satisfying is Avatar. You should watch it. Anyway,
all right, what are we watching
next, Brandon? Did you come up with a movie?
I did, yeah. We're going to do the...
Veto.
This is going to be interesting. So what we're going to do is watch The Seven Samurai and The Magnificent Seven. And then, after that episode, we'll finish it off with the remake of Magnificent Seven from a couple years ago. With like Chris Pratt and stuff like that.
All right. Samurai, Magnificent
I've
Seven.
I've never seen Kurosawa.
Is The Seven Samurai Japanese?
It is Japanese.
Maybe subtitles.
Yep. But it's Kurosawa. He's like the best Japanese. Okay, was the best Japanese director forever.
You're right.
I've never seen it. Kurosawa movies are great, though.
Yeah, man.
Pioneer of filming. Right. Of narrative and stuff.
Did he do Yojimbo?
Yes. And what's the other one? I was just thinking of the one where it's like...
You're
seeing the story from different perspectives. Rashomon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rashomon.
Yes, we will be fasting for Rosh Hashanah on the next episode.
Watch Magnificent Seven and The Seven Samurai.
Magnificent Seven and The Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai first. Watch that one first.
Watch The Seven Samurai and The Magnificent Seven from what year?
okay. Magnificent Seven is 1960 and then 2016. We'll do the next
one. Okay, so we'll do the 1960 one and then we'll do the 2016 one next week.
As like
the,
a topper.
The following
week.
Gotcha. Okay. Sounds good to me, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, this has been fun. We'll see y'all next week. Everybody be safe out there. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Jay.
But nobody asked for this.